This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand. Today, I am going to be joined by my husband, Michael Kroot, the host of The Devil's Advocates, which airs live weekdays 3 to 6. He's going to be joining me a little bit later on in the show, and I wanted Mike to join me today because, obviously, his perspective on our personal caregiving journey with our son with autism is going to be completely different than mine, and I can't wait to hear his thoughts on some of these topics that I will be discussing today. And I wanted to start out by sharing, on May 16th, I will present at the Circles of Life Conference in Stevens Point. The Circles of Life Conference is an annual conference for families who have children with disabilities and the professionals that support them. This year's theme is building community. It's not just a topic of discussion, but also a call to action. It's about learning strategies to build a community and about programs and services that support families in creating inclusive communities for children, teens, and adult family members with disabilities. This is a theme that resonates with all of us. Building community is definitely what civic media is all about, and I cannot wait to be part of it. If you want to attend this year's Circle of Life conference and come and see me, I would absolutely love that. You can register at Family Voices WI for Wisconsin, familyvoiceswi.org. Families and children enrolled in the Children's Long-Term Support or the Children's Community Options Program may have the ability to use these programs to pay for the conference registration, travel, and hotel cost. But get on it soon. Registration ends May 3rd, so coming up quick. The conference, however, is not just for caregivers. There will be a gathering of Youth Track. This is a unique conference for teens and young adults ages 13 to 22 who have disabilities. So these supervised sessions will run while parents can participate in the keynotes and workshops. So awesome to think about that respite, and what is the rest of the family going to do while the caregivers are learning and growing and connecting. They will also be offering a SIB shop, which celebrates the contributions of sisters and brothers of children with special needs. This workshop is for siblings 8 to 13, and it provides lively, age-appropriate activities and relaxed discussions about the challenges and joys of having a sibling with disabilities. I had Harriet Redmond, the founder of SIB Shop, on my show several times. Wonderful organization. It's a great opportunity for family members to have their children try that out while they're doing something different. So there's going to be about 25 different breakout sessions discussing everything from the early years, including birth to three, all the way through adulthood. I'm not even going to attempt to list off everything that they're going to be covering, but it's from IEPs, guardianship, supported decision making, financial planning, social security, self-care, you name it, they've got it. So once again, to register, go to familyvoiceswi.org. And the presentation that I am going to be doing at this conference is called Caregiving 101. And my goal is to help attendees better understand caregiving, how it impacts their financial, physical, and mental well-health, and what you can do to take care of yourself as a caregiver. The backbone of my presentation is going to be using the Raise Family Caregiver Act. So you may ask, what the heck is the Raise Family Caregiver Act? Well, on September of 2022, the National Strategy to Support Family Caregivers was delivered to Congress. So this strategy within the Caregiver Act includes nearly 350 actions on the federal governmental level that will be taken to support family caregivers in the upcoming years, and more than 150 actions that can be adopted on other levels of government across the private sector and local government. I mean, it takes a village. So they have really given this some thought. They came up with 500 action steps that are broken down into five main goals. And I guess I get excited about it probably because the 500 action steps. I feel like everything I do in life, it requires at least 500 action steps. So all about the Family Caregiver Raise Act. So as I was saying, though, they have these 500 action steps that they really broke down into five main goals. And that's what I kind of want to talk about today. And the reason I want to talk about it is, one, to spread awareness on the topic. And two, I want to let caregivers know that help is on the way. You know, we have been in a caregiver crisis for, quite frankly, decades. And they're realizing on the federal level all the way down that something needs to be done. The current system is not sustainable. Many people are struggling, and there can be action steps that we can all take, you know, from the federal level all the way down to local and within workplaces and beyond to help create a more sustainable caregiver environment. And we're going to need that because the amount of people requiring care continues to grow. The baby boomers are aging, so they're going to require care. There's more people with disabilities that are living inclusively in the communities, which is absolutely wonderful. That's what we strive for, but they need help and support. And so we really need to start, it's way past due, but we really need to start thinking about how are we going to make this a sustainable role for the one in five Americans that are also caregivers? So within these five goals they have, the first one is achieving greater awareness and outreach to family caregivers. And what this really comes down to is increasing public awareness of the caregiving role. The family caregiver role in its complexity, commitment, and the benefits of support is not fully understood by those that have had the experience. Consequently, they often are unseen, unheard, working in the absence of tools, policies, and social networks. I mean, how many people out there can identify or can relate that, whether it be their family, their friends, their coworker, they just feel like you have no idea on what this caregiving experience and caregiving role really entails. So I'm Liza Hallenbrand. You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver. And like I mentioned, I am here today with my husband, Mike Crute, and I wanted to have this conversation because I would love to learn more about his perspective. You know, I talk about caregiving all the time. It's a 24/7 thing for me. And he hears it, but, you know, his role and journey and experience was quite different. So I know I took caregiving as a full-time job, like I mentioned. But what our family's personal experience was and what I've shared with you through the years, Mike, I'm curious, what do you think people are missing when it comes to the caregiver role?
Well, first of all, thanks for letting me join you here on The Empowered Caregivers. And I always feel like you should call me Mr. Hallenbrand or something. I call you Mrs. Crute on the air, and I know that's not your last name. But what people don't know that they are a caregiver. You and I have both heard that many times. And in small talk, you tell people what you do and the purpose of The Empowered Caregiver Show. And you start talking about circumstances, and how many times, you know this because you've told me the stories and I've been there sometimes, people don't know they're a caregiver. I would have never put myself in the caregiver column, you know, maybe parent column, but never the caregiver column. That's not the way I looked in the mirror and ever perceived myself. Within the context of our marriage, obviously, you also carried so much of the weight. It wasn't an equal division of the caregiver role. So from my point of view, if there was a caregiver in the family, it was you, baby.
I definitely made it what I got up and strived to do and to work towards. Because, yeah, you know, as I've shared on this show, we have a son that was diagnosed with autism at age 2. And I knew that time was of the essence. And I knew absolutely nothing about autism. My only frame of reference was Rain Man. And that was so outdated. So I really rolled up my sleeves and dug in. But no, I didn't consider myself a caregiver either. And maybe it's because, you know, our son was 2 when he got this disability diagnosis. I just considered myself a mom, I think, until I did so dang good and he went off to college and left. And I thought, what just happened? I just spent 18 years of my life, you know, in this role that I didn't even realize that I had, and what's next for me, and what's the purpose of life, and yada, yada, yada. So I think many people don't understand that they are a caregiver and, you know, what that means, because I've said this before, we just get up and do, you know, the people that we're caring for them because we love them. And so, you know, we don't want to classify it as a job or think of it as a job. It's just what a daughter would do, a sister would do, a mother would do.
You had a full-time job.
I did have a full-time job.
And you were pregnant when you basically diagnosed our son, because our first pediatrician didn't come up with that diagnosis because he was a pretty friendly, he would look you in the eye and he'd give you a hug. And therefore, he didn't have autism based on those two characteristics, according to one doctor. You diagnosed our son. You were also pregnant with our youngest son. At the moment when you came to this realization, we went on a vacation together and you brought the books. And that's all you did was read and educate. And we cried together. And I also want to point out, for people that don't know what our life was like, we had therapists coming every 2 hours. And you, as someone, whenever strangers come to the house, wanted to always have a clean house. You would clean the house for about 30 minutes every 2 hours because new strangers were coming, only strangers for a bit. But anyways, I want to acknowledge how much work you did. And, you know, if I had to pick up a few kids at Boy Scouts or something, that was a small part of the caregiving process.
Well, thank you. And thank you for reminding of my constant cleaning. I was a little OCD about cleaning, but
thankfully you've gotten over that, baby.
I sure have. If you're a stranger, I feel like I should give you out my address just so I have a reason to go home and clean things up. You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver. I'm Liza Hellenbrand, and today I'm talking about the Raise Family Caregiver Act and the 500 actions that are being taken to support family caregivers across the nation. You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. Today, I'm joined by my husband, Michael Crute, the host of The Devil's Advocates, which airs live every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. I had Mike join me today because I am going to be doing a presentation at the Circles of Life conference. And thank you so much, Mike, for that Circles of Life music.
That's
intro.
May 16th, the conference, right?
Thank you.
Yes. I thought you had said that. I made a note of it.
You did. Thank you.
I also heard you talking about the hotel, you sort of paused on the ho part, like hotel. And I'm thinking I mostly stated like no ho motels. So could you describe the difference? Is that the age-appropriate entertainment you were describing?
I've been there. It is a very nice hotel. One word. And you can tell when you go there, you feel comfortable telling people that you went there.
I took you to the wrong La Quinta one time. So there are stories about hotels that don't meet that standard.
There are no tell hotels, but this conference is not at one of them. You know, I'm going to have to look and see, because now I can't think of, I believe it's the Holiday Inn, but it's at Stevens Point. I'll have to look back into that and get the specifics. But
I didn't mean to stump you, but thanks for having me on.
Yes, yes, yes. So as I was saying, I'm presenting at the Circles of Life conference. It's May 16th. You can register at familyvoiceswi.org. And what I'm presenting on is the Raise Family Caregiver Act. And this is a national strategy to support family caregivers. It was delivered to Congress. The strategy includes nearly 350 actions to be taken at the federal level and over 150 to be taken within the local levels and private sectors to begin to support family caregivers.
Is that why we went to D.C.? Like when Speaker Mike Johnson, 6 months ago, when he was being chosen, you were in D.C. and you were advocating, and you were at a conference there, if I recall, and I got to be your plus one. Was it specifically the raise that was being discussed there?
It was. It was called the Act on Raise. So, you know, you got to keep the momentum going. You come up with 500 great ideas. That doesn't mean a single one of them is going to get done unless you advocate, push, advocate, advocate, share your story, and really make it happen. So that is what brought me to Washington back in October. And you can see these things trickle down. I should have had the information in front of me, but Kamala Harris came to Wisconsin this week?
She was in La Crosse on Monday, I believe.
Yeah, and she spoke to some of the issues that were, you know, part of this Raise Family Caregiver Act. And there was two specifically that she had set out to address that are going to be, in motion. And the first one is making sure that nursing homes, I don't know if it expands beyond nursing homes without my notes in front of me, but that they have adequate staff. And a lot of these, they're running on bare bones for various different reasons, and it impacts the patients. So they're putting in staffing requirements. The other thing that they are going to do is, gosh, I'm stumped again. I'm going to have to pull it up.
Well, I'm not going to stump you. It's not my goal to stump you. But even as your plus one, even as your travel companion, and I went out there with my own agenda, but bring it home for me. What's this mean to the caregivers here in the state of Wisconsin? Why should we pay attention? I think there's often a disconnect between what it is the government's trying to accomplish and what happens. And, you know, and I think the greatest disconnect is often someone communicating that it even exists. And I know that you have taken this role, Liza, and I know that you have been out there and you've kind of been this bridge point between those that do, those that live this life as caregivers, and those in the government, and in this case, the Biden administration, that have put forth these noble proposals. But really, it's humans like you that are the bridge between big aspirational ideas and actual implementation on the ground. Because if someone, as you pointed out, if someone's not pushing, nothing gets done. And I know you're one of the people that push to advocate for and help people understand this. So help me understand it.
I'm a pushy broad. You love that about me, don't you?
Your dog's a pushy broad.
You got two of them in your life. No, you're right. It takes a lot of people to get things done, and especially when government is involved, right? So it's my goal to keep my finger on the pulse on what's happening and to be able to disseminate that information in ways that it's understandable to people and meaningful to people and point them in directions when, you know, quite frankly, us, everybody needs their help, needs them to write their legislator or take an action step. So that's kind of why I do what I do. I want to circle back, though, because I felt like a schmuck not knowing the other reason why Kamala Harris was here, and that was ensuring access to Medicaid services. So this rule will ensure adequate compensation for home care workers by requiring at least 80% of Medicaid payments from home care services to go towards worker wages. Because as we know, part of the caregiver crisis is the paid caregiver crisis. We can't find any workers. And why can't we find any workers? Because the position really doesn't pay well a lot of the time, and there's not benefits, and there's not a lot of upside when you can go work at a fast food place or a gas station and make more money. It's really people that are compassionate, loving people that care about helping other humans that drives them to get up to do this every day. And God bless them, but they also need to be able to put a roof over their head and food on the table.
Yeah. People that are broke often get sour in life. I've seen that. I know that feeling.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, going back to the five goals, though, of these big 500 action steps, within goal one is also raising awareness on self-identification of the caregiver role, which is something that we had talked about earlier. So self-identifying with the role, understanding the many facets of the caregiving role, learning when and how to seek assistance, knowing where to access needed education, training, skills are essential for meeting all of these needs. So it'll never cease to amaze me, the amount of people that are caregivers in some way, shape, and form, and don't even acknowledge the role. And why is it important to acknowledge the role? You know, one may ask, your caregiver, yay, good for you. Well, it doesn't come with a Surgeon General warning, but it honestly should. There are some really severe health impacts that can happen when you're a long-term caregiver. And if you don't know about it, how can you take any steps to make any difference? So when I come back, I just want to share a little bit about the health and financial implications of caregiving so people become aware, so they take the steps needed to take care of themselves.
Do I get to come back as well?
And you absolutely. I mean, you're right here. Why not?
Whew, haven't gotten banned yet.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
Hakuna Matata. Ain't no peasant craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
I am Liza Hellenbrand, and you're listening to the Empowered Caregiver and the Lion King soundtrack.
I'm taking all the credit.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you for that. I need that. I should set my alarm to that. That was wonderful. The reason we are playing the Lion King soundtrack and the Circle of Life is because I'm going to be presenting at the Circle of Life Conference in a fine hotel in Stevens Point on May 16th. If you would like to join me there, go to familyvoiceswi.org.
We spend a lot of time in Stevens Point. It's a nice community.
We do. We have a cabin not too far away, and it's our go-to place.
They're in Plover.
There and Plover. Love them both. So the reason I'm going to be in Stevens Point and talking is I'm doing a Caregiving 101. And this is really the backbone to my presentation is using the Raise Family Caregiver Act, which I had stated has over 500 action steps from the federal level all the way down that are in the works to support family caregivers. And these 500 action steps are broken into five main goals. And one of them is self-identification of caregivers. And this is getting caregivers to understand the
implementation.
I think we're getting closer. Yes.
My name is Mike Crute.
Hi, Mike Crute. Thank you for joining me. I don't know. You're just always there. I forget. I don't announce it.
We were at the house yesterday. I am Mrs. Hellenbrand, Mr. Hellenbrand, if you will. But we were at the house yesterday. A contractor came by, and she walked through the living room like three times going, "Where is my husband?"
That's true.
It's true. I was sitting on the couch.
But you blended in.
Like an old man watching Fox News.
Yes. It should have been my go-to place, but you were wearing like the same color as the couch. You were camouflaged.
Maybe. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to let the people know, you know, the greatest husband ever was your co-pilot today.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here and for suggesting the Lion King soundtrack.
I'm taking all the credit.
Love it. So as I was saying, one of the things that I really want to talk about, and I kind of go back and forth because I don't want caregiving to sound like this big Debbie Downer, huge life-threatening thing that we have to do. That makes it sound like a negative. And it's not. At least in my caregiving journey, there has been so many positives around my caregiving. You know, I credit to the parts of myself that I like today to my caregiving journey and what I've learned and the purpose that it has given me in life and the relationships that I've created. And there has been so many positives, but it can have an implication on your health. The Family Caregiver Alliance, in cooperation with California's Caregiver Resource Center, had done some studies and put out some information that says that The studies have shown influential factors in the caregiver's decision to place an impaired relative into a long-term care facility is, can you guess, Mike, why do caregivers ultimately end up putting their loved one in some long-term care facility?
Well, I would assume it's because they can no longer bear the responsibility. You know, they've gotten older themselves. It's become too much of a burden, whatever the case may be.
The implications of caregiving on their own body and well-being and health had gotten to the point where it's too much. They no longer can do it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I want to talk about this, because there's steps that people can take, because caregiving a lot of times doesn't have a clear end. You know, if you're caring for somebody with disability or an aging parent, it's unfortunately through the death process of somebody that's when the caregiving role ends. So
yeah,
we need to be able to acknowledge the implications so that we can take care of ourselves. Caregiving, it shows, results in feelings of loss of self-identity, lower self-esteem, constant worry, and feelings of uncertainty. Caregivers have less self-acceptance and feel less effective and less in control of their lives than non-caregivers.
Certainly less in control of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen that in regards to you, babe. You gave up the opportunity to take on a different career. You were stuck in a real estate career because that was the only thing that gave you the flexibility of time to also be home, because you had outside therapists coming to see our son every 2 hours to provide him the care he absolutely needed. And then that would extend through the evenings into the night.
There was definitely
some. And occasionally, there would even be a dinner in there.
Occasionally. And you know that chronic stress related to daily long-term challenges faced by family caregivers of children with developmental disabilities has been linked to increased rate of heart disease, cancer, brought you here for all the big hard words.
You have really chosen the wrong co-host. Here's what I do, and here's a little broadcaster tip. If you don't know how to say the word, choose a different word, or as I do, just make one up.
Oh, there you go. So it causes digestive disorders.
Sure.
High blood pressure.
Gastrointestinal disorders.
Exactly, that too. High blood pressure, obesity, asthma, and reduced immune functioning. So there's just a few statistics that I want to share because they're really startling. So no laughing, because this is not a laughing matter.
I'm trying to think which of my shortcomings in life I could possibly blame. That's just because I'm a selfish guy. Please continue.
Well, obesity is a factor. So caregivers also report chronic conditions, including heart attack and heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and arthritis at nearly twice the rate of non-caregivers, according to the American Journal of Preventive Medicine.
Well, I would think they are effectively working longer. They're working harder. They're probably, and I know that often, and I've heard your show enough, hon, that people that are caregivers are affected professionally often. So they often have to take lesser wage paying jobs, or they're stuck in part-time positions that don't then offer them things. They oftentimes neglect their own retirement savings, necessary things, because they're not making enough to help support and also save. And they're also putting in sometimes the exertion, just the hours, the stress of caregiving, which I don't care whose child it is, that's still work. That's still work. So I can see all of those things. You know, we all have a cross to bear. But for those that have children with disabilities, or parents that are, you know, have dementia, or whatever the case may be, that has to feel like work on top of work on top of stress.
It can be a lot. It can be a lot. And, you know, for the sake of time, I want to just go through some of these other goals, because it touched on some of the things that you just mentioned. And the other one, goal two, is advancing partnerships and engagement with family caregivers. And what this one is really about is making sure that the caregiver is seen as part of the care team. There was a bill that was out there in Wisconsin, the CARE Act. It's fallen flat, but far from dead. It takes people to advocate, FYI, hint, hint, to get that back in place. And what the CARE Act does is really acknowledge the caregiver as part of the care team. I mean, could you imagine, Mike, if our son had significant medical needs, and I was at the hospital with them, and they ran through what to do, and, you know, I bring him home and have to do it, I would fail miserably.
Well, you would not. You would find a way to do it, because you're a very industrious person. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot to put on a family, and most people don't know the medical terms, and they don't know the why necessarily behind the parts, or the drug interactions, or what could happen to someone when they're on this new drug, and they could change personalities, or they could have some secondary effect. You know, lots of stuff. Something as simple as constipation that's caused by taking a pill for someone who has to provide care, and for someone that needs help going to the bathroom. Well, all of that is affecting, right? So certainly it's complex.
It is complex. And for a lot of people, when the caregiver is sitting in the doctor's office, they're not even being spoken to or looked at, or they're given information in a stack of papers, or, you know, a link or whatever. Well, that doesn't get it done. I mean, you need to be able to leave the hospital and have a thorough understanding and confidence in what you're doing. Because if you don't, like you said, there's implications that you might not be aware of. There are steps that you might be missing that you don't even know that you're missing. And ultimately what happens is the care recipient ends up back in the hospital. So you've done more damage than good. And the main opponent to the CARE Act is the Wisconsin Hospital Association. And I don't want to throw them under the bus, or nurses. I understand that the stress that they're under and how things are changing, and I can't even imagine, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful for the work that they do, but they don't want another mandate placed on them. They say, oh, we do this. We tell caregivers what they need to do. But studies show that it's not the case. Caregivers are leaving and saying, no, I don't feel like I was included in this conversation. I don't know what to do. I'm put in a role that I didn't sign up to be in, with no resources and support. And there's actually insurance billing coding that would cover this training for caregivers. So I really can't wait to see the CARE Act resurface, because I think it really needs to. And Wisconsin is one of maybe 5 or 7 states that does not have the CARE Act in place. So that's one of the things. The other one is to goal three is to strengthen the services and support for family caregivers, which includes increasing respite. And so that's a whole.
What is respite?
A whole nother thing. Respite is just time away from your caregiving duties, ideally to focus on yourself and to take time for yourself and to rejuvenate. And most caregivers, for various reasons, whether respite isn't available, there's nobody willing to provide it, or the guilt that comes along with stepping away or trying to give yourself some time.
Well, and I would guess if it's a complex caregiver relationship, if someone has substantial needs, I would think it's probably hard to train someone and feel comfortable that, you know, you talk about medical professionals informing the caregivers, well, then the caregiver has to go and inform a respite worker and hope that that information, that game of telephone, is effective. Well, no wonder why they feel guilt, because they're also probably wondering, did I get this right?
Right. Well, and a lot of times too, there's also the care recipient, you know, they're not always down for having strangers in or people come in and, you know.
Don't I know it? My wife always cleans the house.
I know, right? So I think getting the awareness around the respite, you know, it goes with getting the awareness around every other topic in caregiving, is just to get caregivers to understand you have to give that time to yourself, because you are your own person. You have your own wants, needs, dreams, and desires, and you can't just put them on the back burner for someday because you're caring for someone else, because we don't know what that someday will come, and we don't know when you're going to get burned out in the process. That's my take. Anything you want to add to that?
Kuma Matata.
Exactly. The other goal is improving financial and workplace security for family caregivers. And I could talk about this for endless shows. You're listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, joined here today with Mike Kroot, my husband from the Devil's Advocates. Listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I'm here today with my husband, Mike Kroot, and I wanted to have Mike join the conversation because I am talking about the Raise Family Caregiver Act. It is an act that was delivered to Congress back in 2022. It includes over 500 action steps to support family caregivers. And my caregiving experience, it was much different than Mike's, but we are married and we have a son with autism. And so, you know, I know what he's been through and he knows what I've been through. So I just wanted to include him in this conversation. So thank you, Mike, for being with me today. So as I was stating, these 500 action steps that have been proposed.
Can I just say, you are the best looking co-host I've ever had.
sorry, Dom. As I was saying, these 500 action steps are broken down into five main goals, and I'm on goal four. And goal four to me is a really important one, so I'm going to speed talk through this because there is so much valuable information in there, I think, that people should really know and understand. And goal four is improving the financial workplace security for family caregivers. And this includes decreasing negative financial impacts of caregiving. Financial health is a core component in maintaining a caregiver's well-being, any person's well-being. And it is critical to meeting the overall goals of the person receiving the support and care as well. Did you know, on average, caregivers spend around $7,000 towards expenses for the person that they're caring for?
I did not, but it's not shocking. I know teachers are often going to pocket. I wouldn't be shocked at all that caregivers go to pocket for stuff they need for the care of family or non-family member.
Absolutely. Co-pays, additional sure. support, whatever it takes. But the actual hard expenses isn't only where caregivers are financially impacted. A lot of caregivers receive lower wages once they are able to get into a place where they return to work if their caregiver responsibilities have ended or lessen. People lose income due to lost promotion, unpaid time off, reduced work hours, taking lower paying jobs that offer more flexibility. There's a whole range of different reasons. And these lost earnings account for about 80% of the estimated lifetime employment-related caregiving costs. The other 20% comes from when you're not working, you're not paying into Social Security, you're not paying into retirement plans. Estimates show that that alone can have around a $60,000 impact. I guess it depends on, you know, your earning potential.
No, I'm just asking this. Is there a gender difference? Have you seen in the stats or in the acts? It seems to me, and maybe it's just my experience through our marriage, is it more often women finding themselves in this role of caregiver? I'm wondering if this helps contribute to the disparity between the sexes and why women get paid less. Well, is this just one more thing on top of pregnancy and everything else that works against their careers? I would just be curious.
No, don't even get me started. Absolutely. It disproportionately impacts women, and it disproportionately impacts women of color who really get hit the hardest when it comes to the financial impacts of caregiving and being a paid caregiver, quite frankly. So one thing that really would make a difference for the majority of caregivers is paid family and medical leave. Paid leave is an investment in the U.S. workforce, enabling workers to take the time they need to return and focus, or they can return and focus when they're ready, rather than being pushed out of the workforce or forced to compromise their own health or the health and care of their loved ones. So it's really giving them that safeguard to be able to go and do what they need to do, and one, not have it impact them financially, and two, you know, have the peace of mind that they have a job available when they come back. And did you know that the U.S. is the only industrialized nation without a paid leave program?
That part I did know.
Yes. 27% of workers in the United States have access to paid family leave through their employers. 27% is not a large number.
No.
And especially the majority of those, I would assume, are not going to be family caregivers because they're not in this full-time executive type position or position that offers that extension of benefits.
So those that get them probably less likely to need them.
To need them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, please continue.
No. In a poll of January 2023, 79% of likely voters reported to supporting a federal paid leave program, which I want to let you know is exactly something that the Biden administration is working towards. This includes 74% of independent or third-party voters, 72% of Republicans, and 92% of Democrats. So universally, people support this. And
well, not universally, and sorry to interrupt, but the workers support it. It's, of course, big business that pushes back against it because it's, you know, it bleeds their bottom line.
Well, you know what? That's really proven to be false. There are several states that have paid family leave, California being one of them. And all of employers' worries and concerns are contradicted or proven to be shown false. Because one, if you have an employee and they need to take this time off, they need to care for a loved one, whether they're getting paid, whether they're getting fired, whatever it is.
Give them time off or some will quit.
So they quit, and then you're constantly rehiring. Mm-hmm. You lose morale. If there's not support in your personal well-being at the place that you work for, if you don't feel like you're valued as a human being, it's hard to want to stay there. So it definitely benefits the employers at the end. And, you know, when people have this time off to go do what they need to do, guess what happens when they come back to work?
They work harder?
They work harder. So there are actual studies that show increase in profits and productivity when employers give employees the time that they need to take care of their personal manners. And for a lot of people, that involves caregiving.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real treat. I enjoy being on the radio with you, Liza.
I enjoy it too. There's like no room for argument or disagreement. I mean, little, but we got to keep on moving, right?
Keep it moving forward.
Keep her moving. And that's exactly what I want to do when it comes to caregiving and caregiving issues. I want to keep her moving. I want to get the Wisconsinites the support, help, and resources that they need and deserve so that they can continue to do what they do and support the people that they love while also being able to take care of themselves and their own personal needs. Thank you so much. Can't wait to join you next week.